simple message, very simple. If you can remember one scripture, then you're good, because that's all we got. I'm totally going to take you to more than one scripture, but I say we only got one scripture. Today, I want to just give you a little short little thing. Obviously, it's intimate. You know, if you look around, shift is small, all right? And we knew that. Apparently, there are certain people in this world. It boggles the thinking that there are certain people in this world that would rather see their child perform in a Christmas pageant right across the way than come to church and hear the word of God. Now, I obviously, those people still are a work in progress with God. And so we just pray for them. We love on them. We won't judge people like Antonio and Angelina. It's all right. No, I'm just kidding. I have been razzing him all week because he was like, Pastor, come, I got to go watch my kid. I'm like, whatever. No, but we knew it was going to be small. We knew it was going to be intimate. You know what, though? I'm excited because I've got a message tonight. One word we're going to talk about. One word that's translated into three words. So if you can remember four words, all right? Pastor Luke, where are you going? I'm going to tie it all together, I promise. All right, four words. Can everybody remember four words tonight? Four words? You think that's pretty easy, four words? All right. We're going to talk about four words. I'm going to give you three of them in the title. The title of tonight's message is this: God with us. God with us. So if you got your Bibles, or if you got your phone, or if you got your digital device, or you've got something that resembles the look of a Bible, open it to the book of Matthew in the first chapter. Matthew in the first chapter, we're going to look at an encounter of the nativity story. Being that it's Christmas, let's talk about some Christmas, some thoughts. Obviously, for some reason, we just decided to not preach Christmas and the nativity in January or July. So December seems like a good month. So Matthew in the first chapter is one of the gospel's accounts of Jesus Christ being born. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background as we find ourselves, or as we read Matthew, the first chapter, starting in verse number 20. Let me give you a little bit of background, verse number 18 and 19. Basically, if you've read Luke or if you've read Matthew, the accounts of the nativity or the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus comes to Mary. Mary and Joseph are betrothed. Now, you and I don't live in a day of betrothal. We live in a day of engagement. So a betrothal would be they were chosen. It was an arranged marriage. So people who are engaged today, in other places around the world, they have this. But Mary had already been arranged. Her parents had arranged that she was going to be married to this guy named Joseph. So they were promised to each other. Now, in this world, this is a society of tremendous decency when it came to immodesty. So in our day and age, promiscuity and things of that nature, it is rampant in our society. But in this day and age, it was unheard of. And if you participated in these things, or if there was evidence of it, I mean, you were literally disgraced. You could be killed. That's how harsh they were. Your family was disgraced. Your betrothed or your engaged would be disgraced. I mean, this was about as bad of a sin or as bad of a transgression as somebody could commit to somebody else and themselves and their family. So here's these two people, Joseph and Mary. Now, obviously, you know where we're going with this. The angels come to Mary. The book of Luke recounts that to us. The angel comes to Mary and says, highly favored one, rejoice, you have found favor with God. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. You will have a baby in your womb, and you will call him Jesus. And it goes on to talk about Jesus and the prophecy. And Mary says, how is this to be since I don't know a man? In other words, Mary says, listen, I'm a virgin. This is physically impossible for me to have a baby. There's some elements that have to take place that have not yet taken place. And the Bible tells you, with God, it is all with all God, all things are possible. So Mary becomes pregnant with Jesus. And Joseph and Mary have not been married yet. So they are still living in separate homes, doing their separate thing. All right, now Joseph realizes, and as you guys know, when somebody's married or when somebody's pregnant after a certain amount of time, things begin to show. So Mary begins to show and people are talking. All right, so Joseph realizes that his betrothed or his future wife is going to have a baby. This presents a huge problem. So verse number 18 and 19 kind of talk about Joseph right there. And basically, the town was getting ready to take Mary out and dismiss her, or dispose of her in a nice way of saying it. They were getting ready to stone Mary. They were getting ready to put her down. And Joseph was a just man. Joseph was a kind-hearted man, Mary's fiancé. Joseph decided that he was going to do things quietly. He was going to take Mary aside. He was going to break off the engagement. He was going to separate from Mary. But he didn't want to make a shame or a spectacle of it. So Joseph had committed in his heart, I'm going to do some things. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to do it quietly so that we don't cause a scene. So Joseph goes to himself to ponder and to think about what he's about to do. He's kind of rehearsing how he's going to dump Mary, okay? Now, in verse number 20, the angel comes, and look what it says. Verse number 20 says, "But while he thought about these things, dumping Mary, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Verse number 22. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.'" The four words tonight are this: Emmanuel, God with us. And tonight, so simply, in just the next 5 minutes, I just want to present a thought to you. And I want to just challenge your thinking. Rather, I want to charge you to think about this. Because there's such a magnitude behind this statement. That the angel comes to Joseph and he says, "Listen, this is the plan of God. Don't put Mary away." And the Bible goes on to tell us that Joseph didn't know Mary until after Jesus was born, which means Joseph didn't consummate the marriage until after they delivered a baby. That is a sign of integrity right there. On a side note, the very first time Joseph saw any of that stuff was when babies were coming out. Joseph was a good man. But God says to Joseph, "Listen, there's so much weight in this statement. You're going to call his name Jesus. All of this was done. All of this drama that you're living through." Joseph might have been like, "God, why me? God, why Mary? You know, listen, I'm a carpenter. I'm a humble man. I'm a righteous man. I'm a just man. Why couldn't this have been the guy down the street that was flamboyant? Why couldn't it have been this person here? Why couldn't it have been somebody else? Why did God, did you got to come and interrupt my life? Why did you got to interrupt Mary's life? We were headed in a direction. I had a 5-year plan. And now I'm going to have a baby before I even know my wife." And the angel says to Joseph, "All of this was done so that the prophecy would be fulfilled." You see, back in the book of Isaiah, the prophet was talking about a horrible king. This horrible king Ahaz was a king that would sacrifice his own children to idols. He gave up his own children. And so during this horrible time, the prophet prophesies. In that time, God speaks to him and says, "There will be a virgin that will conceive, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us." Why? Because your own king is giving up his own kids to somebody else's God. "Now I will make it so that somebody else without a man comes and brings a baby, because your leader's losing his to idols, so that God could be with you." And there's a magnitude here. Above all else, above the nativity, above the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, above the we three kings of Orient are, above the silent night, holy night, oh little town of Bethlehem, above the star with the tail as big as a kite, there's a magnitude in this statement. And here Joseph is revealed the plan of God that has been in the works since the creation of man. Since the very dawn of time, God has had this in the works. And here Joseph, this humble carpenter, this young man that was getting ready to dump his fiance, an angel comes and says, "You're going to call his name Jesus. The prophecy will be fulfilled. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us." And from that moment forward, things on this earth changed. Things on that earth changed. You see, it was no longer God in heaven. It was no longer him and us. It was no longer we down here and him up there, but now it was God with us. The Bible tells us in John, the first chapter, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The magnitude of this statement, God with us. If we, the church, I was so impressed on this, I had to let it out. I don't even ever tweet. As a matter of fact, I said I was at Disneyland. I bought a shirt that had Donald Duck on it. It says, "I don't tweet, I quack." But anyways, I was thinking on this message so much that I had to let it out. I just thought, think about it. Here's the charge I want to give with you. Could you imagine what we as the church, not just this four, not the people in this four walls. This is a building. You and I are the church, the bride of Christ, the representation of Jesus Christ on earth. But could you imagine what life on earth as the church would look like and be like if we could really grab a hold of the magnitude of that statement? Emmanuel, God with us. Could you imagine how effective that we could be in sharing the gospel when we realize that Emmanuel, God with us. Could you imagine how easily we could get through hard times when we realize that it's Emmanuel, God with us? You know, when I think of that statement, I think of that illustration, and I was trying to remember what kind of movie it was. I was just trying to think of a specific movie. None of them came to mind. But I think we can all think of visualize the scene of a movie, maybe like a little boy that's maybe the runt of the family, a small kid that's been picked on or tormented by the bullies, and they're out there to tease him, and they're out there and they're all kind of ganging up. Think about it like he's in the alley. He's been running home from school, and he's got himself, you know, in this alley or the streetway, and now he finally says, you know what, I'm done with it. I'm done. And he stands up and he turns around as the bullies start to face the crowd, and he gets in that position like, let's do this. And you know he's the underdog. There's no possible chance that he's going to win. And all of a sudden, all the bullies are running at him, like, get him, get him, get him. And then they all stop, and they're like, oh, crud. And then they start running the other way. And the kid's like, looking at his fist like, dang, I never knew I had it in me. And he thinks that he was all of him. He thinks that it was him that took a stand. But what he didn't realize is that right behind him was his big varsity senior high brother with his jacket on, standing like, you want to come up, my little brother? Let's go. And as he turns around, he realizes that he was never alone. It's much like that in our life. You know, life beats us up. Life has its way of tormenting us. Life has its way of challenging us. Life has its way of bringing things that we wonder, when is God going to do what he's going to do? When is God going to come through? When is God going to operate? God, I swear I had a plan. You were going to do this, this, and this, and this. When we realize, we turn around. You know what? The world coming at us. The sickness that I'm facing, the trials, the hardship, the things that I'm going through, the lack of my plan coming to fruition, even though I see it running, I realize that it wasn't anything about me or me doing it on my own, but it was Jesus Christ standing right behind us saying, I got you. I never left. Why? Because Emmanuel, God with us. We wonder, when is God going to work? Israel cried and still cries, God, when are you going to send our Messiah? God, when is our Savior going to come? You might have 1,000 ways in which you think God will work, and he'll come in on 1,001. Because that's how God does it. And here Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, comes as a baby, not born into royalty, not born into a palace, not born into wealth, born in a stinking manger with shepherds, smelly shepherds visiting him. Wise men coming later in his life to visit and to give him things. Here's God's plan. All along, the plan of God for mankind was this. God with us. God with us. Imagine what the impact that statement has on humanity when we realize we're never alone. We're never alone. Romans in the 8th chapter, and I'll just read it to you. I think they might have got it up on the overhead, but Romans in the 8th chapter. See, I told you I was only going to give you one verse. I told you I was going to give you more. Romans in the 8th chapter just says this, what shall we say to these things? For if God is for us, who could be against us? If God is with you because he came, he lived, he died, he gave you and I his spirit to dwell inside of us, if God is with us, if God is for us, who could be against us? What does life have to throw at you that could defeat you? Look what it goes on to say. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also freely give us things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to convict you? Who's going to condemn you, it says? Is it not God who justifies? Who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen and is at the right hand who makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Hey, you got hard times? Look at this. Should tribulation? Hard times? Should distress? Should persecution or people's sayings? Should famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Emmanuel. God with us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. So we talked about tribulation. We talked about famine, nakedness. It's got nothing on you because of Emmanuel. Look at this. I'm persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, the height, depth, any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing on this world, nothing beyond this world will ever be able to separate you. Why? Because Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God is always with you. God is always with you. In the words of Michael Jackson, that's right, I said that in church, you are not alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. You're not alone. Listen, Christmas can be a terrible season for certain people. You might lose family members. Hey, you're not alone. You might not have anybody to celebrate Christmas with. You're not alone. You might be experiencing some pain or some hurts of what's been going on in your life. You're not alone. You should be celebrating and not crying, but something bad just happened in your life. You're not alone. Everybody may have deserted you and left you. But you're not alone. Because Emmanuel, God with us, the plan of God from the beginning of time was to be with you. Here's the thing. I told you I was going to wrap it up. I told you I was going to bring it all together. This prophecy of Isaiah, these words of the angel to Joseph, these are the very words that preceded the birth of Jesus Christ. They came before he came to existence. And I think it's so amazing that the very last words that the Bible tells us in Matthew, Jesus Christ says to us in Matthew, the 28th chapter, the very last statement that Jesus says on earth before he goes to heaven, the last part of that verse, he says, "And lo, I am with you, even to the end of the ages." The statement that the Bible makes is that before Jesus even came to existence, it said, God is with us. And Jesus, the last statement he breathed out of his physical breath on earth before he went to sit at the right hand of God, he says, I am with you, always. The Bible says God will never leave us nor forsake us. You are not alone. Now, with that, I charge you this season to go out there, to realize, to remember, you're not alone. When hard times come, when depression sets in, when your sin nature wants to take over, when you want to go back to the old, or you think those thoughts or do with those things, or you have those hard times, or you deal with that family member, remember this. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you. And if God be for you, who or what could be against you? For the ladies in the house that attended GNO, you have already seen this, but I wanted to show you a video because I really feel like it gives us the weight of this statement from the great Charles Spurgeon. So why don't you draw your attention to the screen real quick.
Teach you the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, it is wisdom's mystery, God with us. Sages look at it and wonder. Angels desire to see it. The plumb line of reason cannot reach halfway into its depths. The eagle wings of science cannot fly so high, and the piercing eye of the vulture of research cannot see it. God with us. It is hell's terror, Satan trembles at the sound of it. His legions fly apace. The black-winged dragon of the pit quails before it. Let Satan come to you suddenly, and do you but whisper the word, God with us, and back he falls, confounded and confused. Satan trembles when he hears that name. God with us. It is the laborer's strength. How could he preach the gospel? How could he bend his knees in prayer? How could the missionary go into foreign lands? How could the martyr stand at the stake? How could the confessor acknowledge his master? How could men labor if that one word were taken away? God with us is the sufferer's comfort, is the balm of his woe, is the alleviation of his misery, is the sleep that God gives to his beloved, is the rest after exertion and toil. God with us is eternity's sonnet, is heaven's hallelujah, is the shout of the glorified, is the song of the redeemed, is the chorus of angels, and is the everlasting oratorio of the great orchestra of the sky. God with us. God with us.
What can we not accomplish? What is it that we cannot do? What obstacle can we not get over? What offense can we not move beyond as a church when we realize that it never was us on our own? And it's never about us. It's always about God with us. It's always, always. Could you imagine what our lives, what your life would be if we lived to the full potential of understanding that every moment of every day of our existence, God is with us? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. Lord, we're just grateful. Oh, Father. Lord, may we, like that song says, Lord, may we not waste another day. God, may we understand and may we see the magnitude of such a simple statement, God, but such a defining statement for your plan and your purpose for each and every one of our lives, Lord, that your plan all along from the very beginning was to come and dwell amongst us, to live like the Bible says, to be tempted by all counts as we are, but without sin, to be fitted for us so that you and I could know, Lord, that you are in control. Father, I thank you that as we leave this place, Lord, that we would have a greater understanding of what you want us to do, of who you want us to be, of how you want us to be. Lord, as Jesus Christ said, to be perfect as our Father is perfect, Lord, we thank you that that's only achievable through you, with us. God, that there is no obstacle that we cannot do. There is nothing that we cannot do. That's why the Bible tells us that with Christ, all things are possible, because he's with us. Father, tonight, cleanse ourselves of those wasted moments, Lord, and we look forward to the future, the days ahead of us, the weeks ahead of us, the months ahead of us. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would remember that you are with us and that we might not waste another day, that we might give you our lives to be with us, to use us, to move through us, Lord, that your plan would be accomplished like Mary and Joseph, who were so abruptly interrupted. God, I say in the name of Jesus, interrupt my life. Lord, interrupt me. Do your will, not my will. In Jesus' mighty name. We all say, amen. Hey, listen, quickly before we go, I just want to give you the opportunity. It's a small, intimate night, but I just want to give you the opportunity tonight. You know, that song, like Pastor Joey said, songs aren't just you know, about entertainment. God, I told you I'm not a sappy person. I'm like inside, I try not to show it, but I'm like an emotional wreck. I've read two books this week of 1800s and 1700s great preachers around the world and historians. Half of their books were hymns that they wrote, because the only way that they could express their love and their emotion to God was to sing it and to write it. And that song, as I said, Jesus Christ, take my life. I won't waste another day. I give my life to you, my heart to you. I just want to give you the opportunity, wherever you're at in this place, to go holy for God. You see, you don't get to heaven. You don't get to do your thing and expect that God's going to be there with you. You see, the only way you and I get to be with God for eternity is to do it God's way. Jesus Christ says that you have to be born again. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how many things you do or don't do. It's not about what you wear or what you don't wear. It's not about whether you go to church or you don't go to church. It's all about whether you're born again. Jesus in John, the third chapter. What does born again mean? Simply put, it means you've given God all of your heart, like the song said, all of your life. God's after all or nothing in your heart. He's after all or nothing in your life. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, as Jesus is speaking to the church, he says, listen, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold. Because if I find you lukewarm right down the middle, you're going to be rejected. Jesus says, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Listen, I don't want that to be for you. I don't want that to be for me. So today, here's what I want to do. I just want to give you the opportunity. Wherever you're at in this place, if you haven't given God all your heart, you haven't given God all your life, maybe you think you did as a kid, maybe you have. Maybe this season is that thought or that statement of God with us goes through your mind. Maybe you think, you know, maybe I haven't really lived up to that. Maybe I haven't really followed through with that. Listen, today, let's make this the day. Friday the 13th. What a way to slap the devil in the face. Why not make December 13th on a Friday night? Why not make this the night that you ensure your place with God? That you ensure the fact that God is with you by giving him all of your heart, by giving him all of your life. It's not about your mental sin. It's not about your carnal knowledge of who he is. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do it totally different tonight. I'm going to ask everybody, let's do it old school, all right? Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads, all right? I'm not going to embarrass anybody in this place, but I got to give you the opportunity. Oh, it's impressed upon my heart. I've felt the presence of God in this place since we were singing that song. There are those of us in this place that have wasted time. There are those of us in this place that look at the years of our lives and we say, God, how many more years am I going to struggle through this issue? God, how many more years am I going to just crawl and cry?